Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
So it's really cool to see that even in the failures or the mess ups or screw ups of King David, there is something there because there's always redemption that we see in King David. And so tonight we're going to look at some scripture detailing and outlining some of a huge failure of King David's behalf. But then we're also going to take some lessons from that. Is that okay with anybody tonight? Can we go ahead and pray? Heavenly Father, we just come before you and I thank you, Holy Spirit, have your way in this place tonight. Man, you have already done so much and we are so excited. I pray that you continue to move, continue to heal, continue to have your way, Lord. I step aside. Let it be not my thoughts, my hopes, my visions, my dreams, Lord God, but let it just be your word and your spirit that speak to each and every one of us tonight. I pray that you would open our hearts and minds and my eyes included, Jesus, to receive what it is that you have for us tonight. And we are grateful people and we all say amen. Amen. Hey, so, you know, again, David is a guy who continues to mess up and has some great successes, but there's something to be said about a man who fails and yet wins. You know, people pay thousands upon thousands of dollars in the business world to have 10, 15 minutes, a lunch with some of the gurus of e-commerce, or, you know, there's people that go to different conferences and literally pay thousands of dollars so they can get just a nugget or two from a guru that to help them make money or to help them be better people or better leaders. But we have the word of God that's accessible for free. And man, there is no better nugget than what we see through the instruction of the word of God. Amen. Yes, that is good. Because there is something to be said from when King David, there's some keys there. There's some keys like, wait, even in your failures, you're winning, King David. So I want to do that. So we're going to spend just a few moments tonight. Instead of that 15 minutes or 30 minutes with the guru, man, we're going to get with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe that we can walk away forever changed. Is that okay? I love the way that Pastor Joel says it. I so believe this, that I am on assignment tonight. I am not just up here tonight because it rang my turn on the cycle of preachers at Overflow, right? We are on assignment. I believe the Lord has brought me here for a purpose with the word, for a reason. Come on, we don't come to hear from a man. We don't come to hear from a woman. We don't come to hear from our favorite preacher, but we come to hear from the Holy Spirit, who is senior pastor of this church. And his word of God is living, and his word of God speaks to us and has a message for us tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. We're going to go in and out of the scripture. I'm going to give us a quick overview, and then we'll jump in to see what God is saying. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, right off the bat, we're seeing that King David takes a census. He had just come off a military victory, and he takes a census, a count of his fighting men, the Bible says. So he orders one of his generals to count all his fighting men. The challenge with this is any time that the children of Israel had ever taken a census or a count, it had been ordered of the Lord. It had been, the Lord had asked for that count, and like anything that God asked us to do, it had a reason, it had a purpose, and there was processes in which that was supposed to be done. It wasn't just for the sake of counting, right? There was a reason. For example, when he had them count the children of Israel, there was allocations that were allotted. But in this case, David, he doesn't even include all the tribes. He's just like, the ones I like and the fighting men only. And the problem is, this is done not on the order of the Lord, but from what historians and theologians gather, and from what I can see as well, it kind of came from David's pride. It came from, you know what, look, I just came off of victory. And the way that in the biblical times, power was established in a kingdom was by who they could conquer, right? And if I have a million men, then I for sure, I mean, don't even try to come against me with your little 50,000 people army, right? There was power there. There was a sense of, man, my kingdom is better than your kingdom. You know what I'm saying? And so King David, in some pride here, starts to count his men so he can know exactly, look at the kingdom and fighting men that I have established that are under my authority, that are under my command. If I say go, they're going to go. And so here is King David in his pride. He messes up. He counts. But he recognizes it. So we pick up in verse number 7. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he struck Israel. There was judgment that he brought upon Israel, King David. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. David recognized his error, but there was judgment that was going to come across Israel. See what happened? So God, in further verses, God now sends a prophet, is now sending a prophet to David and said, look, David, there's going to be judgment that's going to come across Israel. And there's going to be a price to pay for this thing that you've done. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a few options. In fact, I'm going to give you three options. Judgment is going to happen. Now, do you want it by war? Or war will come your way and judgment will have you that way? Do you want it by plague? Or do you want it by pestilence, which is kind of another type of plague, maybe an epidemic, right? Remember when people, not too long ago, as of the last couple hundred years, would die of fever or flu, something like that, an epidemic that would come across. How do you want this to happen? Now, time out. I don't know anybody in here ever got in trouble when they were a kid. I don't know, maybe it's just me, right? Never, didn't think they weren't supposed to do. And maybe you, similar to me, had some options when you got in trouble. I'll lay out a few of the ones I got. Like, do you want the chancla? Do you want the belt? Or do you want to wait till your dad gets home? Right? And so those were some of the options. I remember specifically my dad had like a weightlifting belt. Again, this was like the 80s and 90s. So those were like really common, right? This big leather weightlifting belt, which would look intimidating other than the fact that because it was so big and thick, it just kind of tickled, right? So it was like, I'll take the weightlifting belt, right? Or maybe you were one of the kids that had the option of like, you get the belt or grounded. Although mine was always like, something's going to strike you, right? But some people maybe got the option of being grounded or like, do you want grounded or the belt? Which in my mind, like, hey, the spanking comes and goes away faster than the grounding would. I don't know. But that's just me. So David's giving him the option of the punishment or the judgment that he will have. But listen to David again, because throughout the night, what we're going to see here, we're going to see a man, even in his mess ups, there was something about King David that I believe that you and I can integrate into our lives, that even in our shortcomings, we can keep a heart before God. And so I believe we can do this. This is not just, oh, that's just King David. I believe God is giving us these clues. Otherwise, why has it been preserved for so long? Why are we able to see King David, man, other than to take some lessons and apply them into our life? Maybe that's just me. Anybody with me tonight? But we see, and David said to God, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great, but do not let me fall into the hands of men. So in other words, he's saying, look, God, I don't want to pick. I don't want to pick from those. They're all bad. They're all bad. But this is what I know, God. This is what I know, and it's highlighted. His mercies are very great. If anything life has taught me, King David is saying, and maybe there's some witnesses here tonight, if anything life has taught me, even in my shortcomings, even in my failures, his mercies are very great. So I don't need to pick. God, you do whatever you're going to do, but I know that your mercies are great because I don't want to fall into the hands of man. I'd rather fall into the hands of God. I don't know about you, but that's a word for somebody. See, sometimes we wait around and let our lives be dictated by the opinions and thoughts of man when the only thing that should matter in our life are the thoughts and opinions of God. See, let there be freedom tonight in knowing that God's mercies are great. Maybe we messed up. Maybe we fell short. But let's not mess around and think that man's thoughts are going to get us out of the trouble we're in. I'd rather go into the hands of God and let him deal with me, knowing that he's a merciful God. When the world, all the world wants to do is chew you up and then spit you out, right? Come on, is it just my Bible that says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy? He's not trying to a patty cake with you. He's not out for your best interest. But the merciful God, even in his justice, because he is a God of justice, let's not get that twisted. He is a God of justice, but he is merciful. He is merciful. Amen. I'll throw this scripture here. I had it towards the end. And in fact, I was like, God, I don't know where this goes, but I'm going to put it here. James chapter 2, verse 13. For judgment without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. See, there is judgment in our life, but God's mercy will triumph. And I know that is freedom for someone tonight, because God in his mercy will always triumph over the judgment that we allow in our lives. And sometimes our greatest critic can be the person in the mirror, right? As Michael Jackson said. Because we can look in the mirror and we can be our critic, we can be our judge, when God's mercy will triumph over judgment. But let's put our faith and trust and let God deal with us rather than trying to go. See, oftentimes we'll go the other way thinking like, oh man, I messed up. I don't want to disappoint God again. He doesn't really want to hear from me. I've messed up. That's never been anything good for me. So I'm just going to go my way. That's the first mistake. That's the first mistake. We stepped out of what we knew God could do. And so let me just remind us tonight that putting our lives and our fates, so to speak, in God's hands is always going to be our best way to go. Is that all right? Man, that's good tonight. So looking at the keys of David's heart here, you know, because, again, he gets the opportunity to choose his way. And then we see in verse number 17, we pick up, and David said to God, or was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who sinned and done evil indeed. But the sheep, talking about the people, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord, my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. David's heart is crying out. Let it be against me, not your people. What's David doing here? David is taking responsibility for what he has done. David is taking responsibility for what he has done. Instead of passing the blame, instead of saying, but my past, but my parents, but my situation, but the people who have hurt me, but you don't know my boss, you don't know what I'm dealing with, you don't know my life. I don't. But God does. But there's a sense of personal responsibility that we can do. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying go sit in the corner and just get like beat yourself up. But understand that, again, his mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment. So don't let judgment rule you. Don't let judgment overtake you. Know that God's mercy is forever. So what happens here? David cries out to God. Let it be me. Don't take it out on your people. Well, ultimately, 70,000 men die. 70,000 men die. And God is continuing to, he's going to continue to let out his judgment, but he sees his servant David. He sees the cry of David's heart. He sees, dare I say, the posture of David's heart, who is sincere in his apology, who's sincere in where he's at and realizing that he messed up. And God stops the judgment. He presses pause on what's going on. This is a great image as you would look at. I encourage you to read all of this chapter. But he says, you know what, David? Go and build me an altar. Go and build me an altar. An altar is essentially, in biblical times, it would be made out of stone or wood or some kind of building supply. And it essentially acted as a table in which a burnt offering would be given unto the Lord. So he instructs David, go and build me an altar where you're going to put an offering to me. And David, in his obedience, does so. In verse number 21, so David came to Ornan, and Ornan looked and saw David. David, remember, the king. And so here's Ornan, a citizen in the kingdom of Israel, where David is king. And Ornan looked and saw David, and he went from the threshing floor where he was and bowed before David with his face to the ground, bowing before the king. Then David said to Ornan, grant me this place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall grant it to me at full price. Everybody say full price. We're going to come back to that in a second. Full price. Say full price. That the plague may be withdrawn from the people. But Ornan said to David, take it for yourself and let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. Look, I've always also given you oxen for the burnt offering, the threshing implements for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all. So here's, again, a citizen in the kingdom of David saying, look, here, take this land so you can build your altar. And here's the oxen so you can sacrifice the animal. In fact, here's the wood so you can start the fire. Everything that you need, take it. Which I don't blame him, man. Like if we were in front of the king, whatever you, hey, your money's no good here, king. Just remember me, right? You don't have to do anything, but listen to David. Again, we're talking about the characteristics of David that we can apply into our lives that continues, even in David's failures, to put him on God's radar. Hello, on God's radar, even in his failures. Verse 24, then King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for full price. Say full price. For I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings that which costs me nothing. So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place. And David built there an altar for the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called to the Lord. And called to the Lord as he did. Catch this. As he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offering. What just happened? He put a sacrifice that he paid full price for. And God answered King David by fire. He answered King David by fire. And he burnt up the offering before the Lord. Serving God is going to cost you something. Come on, serving God is going to cost you something. It costs Jesus everything. See, sometimes we try to scoot by unscathed. We try to approach Christianity like, oh my God, oh, I saw that person. Oh, I want to stand by them. I'm trying to get by, whatever it takes. Oh, don't want to pray too much because I saw the spiritual warfare started happening. Hello, Wednesday nights. I got to stay away from that. Oh, that's starting to cost. Oh man, now they're talking about my money, trying to get up in my pocket. No. I'll just come to church every now and then. I'll skip the finance series or I'll skip the series I don't like. That's costing me too much. Trying to get all up in my business. Come on, full price. Full price. The Lord heard David. The Lord heard David. Let's look at how this finishes up here. Serving God is going to cost you something. Verse 27, so the Lord commanded the angel and he returned his sword to its sheath. Again, so the angel that was getting ready to bring judgment to Jerusalem. Again, in the chapter, you see this image here. The angel was getting ready to continue to bring judgment. And the Lord commanded the angel to return his sword into its sheath. At that time, when David saw the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. David moved the hand of God. Tonight's title, if you're taking notes, it's called Moving the Hand of God. Moving the Hand of God. I want to clarify something because I know we're looking at an Old Testament scripture and we're talking about burnt offerings and sacrifices. See, burnt offerings and these sacrifices represented how atonement was reached, right? How someone could get right again in right standing with God. Now, we live after Jesus. We get to be New Testament Christians, so I don't want to get the emails right. We know that Jesus was the atonement for our sins. Jesus, through his blood, through his sacrifice, paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future sins. Okay, does that make sense? Amen for that, right? So, but what we're talking about tonight is not, I'm not saying make sacrifices for atonement because Jesus is the atonement. But what we want to see from King David, the lesson that we can learn from King David is that he moved the hand of God through sacrifice, through obedience. Remember, it was going to cost him something. The judgment was being brought upon him, upon his people. 70,000 had already fallen and more to come. And he didn't just say, well, it's happening. It is what it is. I guess, you know, this is just the life of a Christian and just the woe is me. And this is, you know, I'm just going to take it. I have to just be humble, meek, right? I just have to take it. This is my cross to bear. David went to work with a sacrifice. And I believe there are some things that we can learn from King David. So if you're taking notes of a few just quick things, three lessons from King David. In verse 17, if we can get verse 17 back up there, personal responsibility. Was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who sinned. I talked about this a little bit earlier, but personal responsibility. I know that's not something that is popular. That's not a cool thought. We can come up with every excuse and reason in the book why it's not us, why we don't have to do it, right? Why it wasn't my fault. I don't care that there was a sign there that said, don't step on this. I broke my ankle stepping on it, and I'm going to sue you because I just wanted to mess with it, and so it's your fault. You know what I'm saying? Or it's your fault, but David is not doing that here. See, David's not just trying to get by. And that's what I love about our church, what I love about this house. You know, this is not like a get-by Christian club, right? We talked about this. This is not just like, hey, I'm just trying to make it to heaven. You know, like, can you just tickle my ears and make me feel good? Because I'm just trying to come enough so Jesus will see me. And when I send the pearly gates, you know, maybe they'll call my name because they remember that I sat in the seats enough. That's not what we're talking about here. That's not the assignment on this house. The assignment on this house is to preach the word of God, is to disciple people, is to see people saved, to see the lost found in Jesus' name. And it's called the World Outreach Center for a reason, because we're taking it into all the world, the message of the gospel that is the good news. Because it's not just like, oh my gosh, let me get my attendance in, and as long as it's not my fault, there's personal responsibility. Again, people are finding out what you want. If you want to get better at anything, you talk to the people who are good at it, right? People in business, in your field, whatever it might be, you talk to the people who are good at it. I don't know about you. David was a good screw up, but he was still good at keeping God on his side. David, what did you do? Well, I took some personal responsibility. I at the threat of who knows what's going to happen. But again, remember, I just know his mercy was good. So it was a hard call, but his mercy was going to be good. Number two, compassion for his people. I mean, this you can go all over the place. You can go stewardship. David was put over the people of God. And he knew, these are your sheep, he said. Or he calls them in verse 21. Look, these are your sheep. I have compassion. Please put it on me. I don't want it on them. I'll take the punishment. I'm seeing all these people die because of a mistake that I made, because of my pride, because of my arrogance, because of my way. Put it on me. He had compassion for the people of God. He recognized his assignment. He recognized that he had messed up, and his heart broke for God's people. And I can't help but notice that it got the attention of God. Look at my son. Hold on. Angel, hey, you're about to bring more judgment. Hold on. Look at my son David. Look at him taking care of his sheep. Look at him taking personal responsibility. Look at the compassion that he has. Look at the way he stewards what I put in his hand. I put him king over all these people, and he's recognizing his screw up. I'm going to move on his behalf. Watch this. Last one. Obedience, no matter the cost. Remember we said full price? Remember we said full price? Obedience, no matter the cost. See, sometimes it's like obedience as long as it's not too much. Obedience as long as you don't mess with my time. Obedience as long as I don't have to wake up too early. Look, I'm not criticizing modern day society. I'm not trying to get on a high horse. Right, but can we challenge ourselves? Can we take personal responsibility? Can we be mature adults and recognize and realize that it's going to cost something? There are people across the world who are dying for their faith. We are privileged, and I don't think we have to apologize for the privilege we have, that we don't have to live in fear of people coming into these doors and taking our lives for the simple fact that we're talking about Jesus. But let us not forget that there is a cost. The devil wants your family. The devil wants your marriage. The devil wants your finances. The devil wants your happiness. Why do you think there's so much depression and anxiety? The devil wants, again, everything that you have, everything that you could love, everything that keeps you strong, like this morning, tries to steal your joy, tries to steal your happiness, tries to steal what you know as good. Because he knows that if you recognize the truth, then you know that the devil has no place in our lives anyways. That, like Pastor Dan said, is a toothless lion. All he can do is try to roar, but he has no, man, that's all bark, no bite, right? That's all bark, no bite. But if we can recognize that our obedience is gonna cost us something and realize that we are willing to pay the cost. Hello, willing to pay the cost. That we will be a people that are gonna pray. That we will be a people that will discipline ourselves to get into his word and see what he's saying. See, the only time that we hear from the word of God shouldn't be when we come into church, right? It should be, what is God speaking to you outside of here? What is God speaking to you outside of here that we're just confirming when you come into these doors? Come on, that it would be out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Oh man, that's just what I was reading in my Bible today. Oh, that's just what the Lord was speaking to me already. Thank you for the confirmation, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. But instead we sit here and this is kind of like, all right, motivate me. Go ahead. Put on a show, a song and dance. Like, hey, I hope that you get your word for the week. I hope that you get your word for the week. Like that's not my job. I'm not good at it, obviously, right? Like, hey, if that's why you came, you know, you didn't get your money's worth. Get your refund at the door. Yeah. But come on, it's gonna take a cost. And I don't know about you, I'd love to link arms with my brothers and sister that are ready to know, hey, regardless of the cost, I'm ready because the enemy is not pleased. But the reward is greater. King David has talked about all these years later for these simple principles that I believe he learned about God. He took the time on the hills of Judea to understand the characteristics of God, to understand who he was, to understand that his mercies are new every morning, to understand that he would be taken care of. In his failure, when he messed up, he knew that, man, God could have struck me down, but he didn't. So I can put my faith in him, my trust in him, that his mercy will be good, that his mercy will get me through, that I don't have to worry, that there is tomorrow. Come on. This is good stuff. Why? Not because I'm preaching, but because the Lord is speaking to our hearts. He's encouraging our hearts. He is reminding us of his mercy. He is reminding us of the cost that it takes. But if you're obedient to the cost, if we can bring our offering, I don't know about you guys, have you ever gone shopping and bought something full price? Now, rarely do I buy things full price, but when I do, I'm like, oh, do you see my shoes? Usually when it's on sale, I'm just like, oh, yeah, cool shoes. Thanks, man, they were on sale, right? But when I buy full price, you know, I'm like, hey, what's going on, guys? You say, oh, these shoes, these old things, right? No, full price. But then don't you get mad the next day it's on sale? Well, you know, if you're savvy enough, you know, like, hey, it was just on sale. I'm gonna go get my money back, right? Like, they were just on sale yesterday. You know, you could do that. It's a free tip, hey. But the other point of the matter is that there is something that takes place when you know that you got a value for something, right? Because something is worth what you're willing to pay for it, right? So here's King David, and he's buying this piece of land, and he said, I want it full price. See, because if it didn't cost me anything, I don't want you to have a say in my blessing. I don't want you to say, oh yeah, but I gave that to the king for free. And God like, wait, so you gave me for free? You know, I heard a joke the other day that someone was talking about how they got a gift for Christmas, right? But they put it on their dad's credit card. It's like, wait, so is that still a gift? You didn't pay for it, I paid for it. Right, like, is that still a gift? Is it a gift if we're just returning the what is already ours? What is the cost that we pay? And in fact, you know, the only thing that we can truly give to God is our praise. Think about it. Money, we give money. God gave you the money. God provided everything back to you. That's why, you know, why are we getting so tripped out about, oh, he wants my money? No, he already gave it to you. You can't give it back to him. You are, it's a heart It's a heart thing. It's a position of our heart. You can't give him money because it's, oh, but I give him my time. He's the creator of time. I give him my, even our life. Our life he gave you. He put the breath in your lungs. But the praise, because God gave us free will. Because God gave us the gift of free will. The only thing that we can truly give God that wasn't already his is praise that comes out of our mouth. It's thanksgiving. Right? Because when we can praise him with our lives, we are truly saying, I am not a robot. I know you gave me my life. Thank you. And I praise you. I put a sacrifice of praise on it. Right? I'm going to put a praise on this thing because I know. Because I know it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me early mornings. It's going to cost me, instead of social media activities or apps on my phone, I'm going to get into the Word of God. And instead of, maybe it looks like stepping away from time with friends or guy time or date, not date night like from your wife, but you know what I'm saying, like out on dates, it's going to cost you something. There will be a cost for the gospel. And just so you know, no one ever said it was free because Jesus, again, paid it all. The gift of salvation was free, but what we do with that now will cost. It will cost. Now, again, this has nothing to do, oh my gosh, my offerings are going to get me loved more. Oh my gosh, if I don't give offering, I will get loved less. That's not what we're talking about. Again, we're not talking about, hey, we just want to get into heaven Christianity. But I'm talking about bringing an offering that will move the hand of God. Remember the title, Moving the Hand of God. Does anybody want to move the hand of God on their life? Does anyone need a breakthrough in their life? Does anyone need to just live life more than just saved? Does anyone want to live called for Jesus? Does anyone want to live in their purpose? Does anyone want to see more fruit than what you've been seeing? We move the hand of God with our praise, with our sacrifice of praise. And that's when it will be the difference between just living saved and when we can truly live a life that, man, we're in a circumstance, but I'm going to offer up my sacrifice. I'm going to offer up my praise. And when things are going bad, when the enemy had plans for me, when the enemy is lifting his sword, look at the story, God will say, hold on, he's lifting up and offer a sacrifice of praise. He's lifting up my name. He's not looking at the circumstance, but yet he's still praising with the little breath that he has, with the little joy that she might have. She is giving it up to me. Hold that sword. Let me lift up you up, daughter. Let me lift you up, son. It is available for you tonight. Your joy can be restored. And it is, oh my gosh, that is good preaching. Because God sees our sacrifice and it will cost you. Hebrews 13. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips and giving thanks to his name. You know, I had the privilege of growing up in church and we used to sing these little, we bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. My song and dance. Into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of praise. Fill in the blank, it's good. Right, come on. That's just like, man, the sacrifice of praise, and we offer it up to our King Jesus because that's what I can give him. I can give him my life, yes, but I can give him the praise from my mouth, from the free will of my heart. There's another song lyric, and I'm gonna ask the band to come out here. I was listening to a song today. The lyric is so powerful. Praise is the highway to the throne of God. Praise is a highway to the throne of God. It is with our praise, it is with our lips that we can praise him that will allow us into the throne of God. We can move the hand of God in your life. You can move the hand of God in your life. If you don't do anything else tonight, if you don't remember anything else, know that whatever your situation, whatever your predicament, you can move the hand of God over your situation and let it be through your praise. Amen. The band is up here. Amen. Come on. I want to take a quick moment. I want to make sure that I'm obedient to the Holy Spirit. And I believe that he asked me to do something tonight. And I want to make sure that, again, we talked about this altar that David built. And I want to invite us all tonight, encourage us, here in a moment. We're going to open up the altars. Maybe you just want to step out into the aisleways. Maybe it's right where you're at. But we're going to build some altars. And on that altar, we're going to put a sacrifice. And again, what I believe the Lord asked me to do, because I just, he's so impressed in my heart that there are those of us in here that are like, oh man, God, I'll give you this. Man, money, easy. Psh. Time, I'll serve, easy. Psh. Believe God, don't try to take this. And it's not that God's trying to take something, but what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to put on the altar? So we're gonna go into that last song, and we're just gonna praise him with our lips. And on the altar that we build, we're not gonna really bring rocks or anything like that, but take the time here in the altar and put that sacrifice on there. And before we do that, I just want to take a quick moment to allow God to speak to you about what that is. Maybe, I don't know, God. I believe God can speak to you and reveal to you what it is that maybe you're holding on to just a little too tight so that we can put it on the altar. And come on, let's ask God to be the fire tonight to consume our sacrifice. And let's leave this place in victory like King David, knowing that the hand of God has moved over your situation. That God will consume that sacrifice with fire and bring change to our life. That what we couldn't get breakthrough on our own, that what we couldn't do on our own through money, through volunteering, through whatever it might be, God will bring that deliverance. God will bring that breakthrough. Maybe you visited doctors and they can't figure out what's going on. Or maybe you've tried to seek therapy or intervention on a certain topic or situation, children in school, or what, you've tried tutoring, you've tried this, you've tried whatever it might be, and you've tried to do things your own way. But let's let God burn that sacrifice up. See, because it's a sacrifice to take it outside of your hands. See, because in our own hands, like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to this appointment. I'm going to go seek counsel here. I'm going to go do that. And I'm just going to, and then God will just, you know, do it. But to be open-handed, just today, my daughter turned 8 months. And Angelina was showing me how, the baby, Ariella, had moved an object, little Lego, from one hand to the next. And I'm like, oh, cool. That seems normal. See, but babies have to learn. You know, they're not naturally open-handed. Babies grip, and then like they have to teach their brain to bring something and then actually open their hand. And maybe for some of us, that needs to be developed, right? That open-handed, that switch over to God. Because it's just not natural for us. It's not natural for the baby to just, she'll grab it, and then I did that. That's cool, right? And then what looks so simple, Lord, and you know, you see these Christians, oh my gosh, they're just so like, oh, I'll give it to God. See preachers come up here, yes, just give it to the Lord. I gave it to the Lord and it changed my life. But you're sitting there like, I can't do that. You must just get it because you're a preacher. No, it just, it takes a practice of Jesus just, but then all of a sudden, you know, like, it just, as soon as you get it, oh, you know, this is yours, Jesus. This is what, I'm not taking that. Sickness, nope. Nope. Oh, this. Oh, nope. Testimony here. Oh, I'm not just. I'm giving it to you, Jesus, because I'm not even trying to touch that. Like, I'm not. You just. There you go, Lord. I'm just kicking it up to you. I'm not gonna even put my hands on it. I'm doing a lot of dancing tonight. I didn't stretch. I'm gonna be sore. All right. So the worship team is gonna come up here. Are they already up here? Wow. Look at that. And we're gonna remember what we're doing. Holy Spirit, speak to your people. Reveal what it is. Reveal what it is, Jesus, that we can put on our altar. Reveal to all of us what we need to place on the altar. And I pray that you consume it by your fire in this place. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.